Tampa County 911. What status with the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Nothing but true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome. It's your weekly dose of law and order. Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we are here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, Tom, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime. Listen to me. Let's try that again. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories here on the Justice Files, so buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. So let's get to it.
We're never guilty of that.
Never. No. No. No crime.
Neither on
of
the
bad
podcast or the radio.
All right. Patrol incident happened with a welfare check. Automatic crash notification was sent to the Summit Deputy 911 Center using a location near Vail Pass, and deputies, State Patrol, and medic unit were dispatched to the area. Is that one of those Apple automatic call-ins?
Have we not talked about these?
A few times. They've been happening. Man, I remember when they were first introduced, and that first ski season, man, that was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the 14 when it first came out, so that's three years ago now, because don't they do a 14, 15, 16? Because now we're on 17, Apple 17. But anyways.
I lose track of those.
It's crazy, but remember how bad it was?
Oh, yeah.
For us, it was horrible. You and I used to talk about it all the time.
Somebody would just fall off the chairlift and, bang, it's a 911 call. Like, oh, wow, hold on, wait a minute.
Oh, here's dating ourselves, but it's like those old medic alert commercials. Yeah, like, I've fallen and I can't get up. You and I are probably the only ones laughing at that
probably
right now.
Nobody else can figure it. Google it. Yeah.
Hey, but this is one of those where, again, you know, we send the world because, especially Vail Pass, as you know, can be a spot of very frequent, horrible accidents. The whole world went looking for this. They couldn't find anything. Deputies tried to clear from there, or did clear from that scene, never finding anybody or any crashed cars or anything, or dead animals, because sometimes it involves, you know, elk, deer, moose, you name it, bear. And about 30 minutes later, after they cleared the call, the friend of this individual whose crash notification went off called, because I guess they have it hooked up on their phone where they also get a notification their buddy's in trouble.
Hmm.
So they asked for a welfare check on their friend. Lo and behold, deputies end up locating this person. And it turns out, who's not done this before? He had left his phone on top of his car at Vail Pass while he's loading up his car and drove away and ran over his phone.
Oopsie.
And as he dropped the phone and it hit and it ran over it, the phone sent a notification off. It triggered the notification. The deputies and this guy ended up going back up to Vail Pass, finding his phone, and all is well and good at the top of Vail Pass.
Which is a very good thing to hear
on the Justice Files.
Because, I mean, it's a very cool feature when it does work.
Oh, my gosh.
And people get hurt and people get assistance right away.
But yeah, we've had some actual good ones.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, real ones.
Right.
Just like the spot locators, same thing that came out way before even Apple did on their watch, where people in the backcountry. But at least that one, you have to hit it a couple times to really send the notification. So it has a fail safe. Like, did you mean to push the button, Tom?
Yeah.
And you go, yes, I meant to push the button. Where we find people in the backcountry with those. But there was a time when those were new, but way before the iPhone, where we get false activations in the backcountry.
Wow. Well, thankfully, technology is advancing enough, and we're figuring out...
And so are we.
...what's real and what's not. It's an ongoing challenge in daily life. Let's talk about this next disturbance. A couple began arguing while at a friend's house, and they decided to leave after driving around the neighborhood for a bit. They returned to the parking lot, and the argument escalated, and the intoxicated male threatened to break up with the woman if she went back inside. They continued to argue outside the vehicle before the man walked away, and we have audio on this incident.
One. For all other languages, please use selected.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to the beginning. I picked it up in the beginning.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi, I'm listening.
Hang on the line.
Welcome to the Voyant Interpreter Network. Please select the language you need. For Spanish, press 1. For all other languages, please use selected Spanish. You will be connected to the next available interpreter.
Interpreter 55279 will be your Spanish interpreter. Please speak in clear and short sentences so that I can interpret.
What's the address of the emergency?
Es el 911. ¿Cuál es la dirección de esta emergencia? Yo soy Sofía, ¿quién te espera la llamada?
Hombre, sí.
Dos personas que están peleando en un carro, una mujer y un hombre. No dice.
Es un americano. Está en una van, pero no le logro ver las placas.
Okay, so it's like an American. He is fighting it in a van with a lady, with his wife, I guess.
Okay, so there's a male fighting with his wife. Where is that happening at?
So you can see how complicated these can become.
Very, especially when you have to involve an interpreter to make it all make sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was to demonstrate that when we get these critical incidents like these, you know, this came out as domestic violence. It turned out it wasn't. But had it been a domestic violence in progress where someone was either being assaulted, you know, or hurt, harmed in some way, and, you know, they call 911, they don't speak English, the dispatcher has to establish that, connect with the language line, then figure out what language the person's speaking, connect them with an operator, and as you could tell even with this operator, sometimes the operator, their first language is not English. So they're translating English into Spanish and then Spanish back into sometimes not perfect English.
I mean, the whole beginning of that call sounded like just confusion.
Confusion.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, I mean, you name your critical incident or crime in progress, and someone doesn't speak English and needs to activate this language line. Our dispatchers go through what you heard here on 911. Our deputies go through it. Some of the cool, we just talked about technology about the last call, some of the newer technology come out with body-worn cameras, is they're able to recognize what language you're speaking, and they will translate automatically on the body-worn camera, which is...
In real time, they're translating.
In real time, which is a whole...
Jeez.
Oh, I'm telling you. RoboCop, here we come.
I mean, high tech, man.
Get rid of the humans. You know what I mean?
How close are we to RoboCop?
I'm telling you. I just went to International Association of Chief of Police conference in Denver, and they had robot dogs and people walking.
I've heard about the dogs.
Well, now they had a person walking around the conference, and it was the freakiest thing. And they were trying to sell them, saying that you could use this for like your front desk, you know, to greet people and to, you know, ask, you know, simple questions, because it's all AI.
Yeah.
But it's kind of freaky when you're engaging literally with a robot, and it's animated, it has hand movements, and it's, you know, it looks in a... It literally doesn't take very much time for you to feel like you're talking to a human until you go, wait a minute, I'm talking to a friggin' robot. What am I doing?
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy. And the guy controlling it was walking around with it, and he had the control. He was obviously very skilled. He had the controller behind his back, and he was just strolling through the crowd and watching people's reactions to the robot and trying to engage with them. It was crazy.
Now, is he just doing a demo on it?
He was trying to sell it to law enforcement, saying, like, this is what's coming.
Right.
This is right. And the dogs have been around, as you know. But these dogs now can do It's crazy the articulation these dogs have, that they can literally open doors. They can do searches. They can now they can smell for fentanyl. That's the newest thing.
That's very cool.
The robot dog can smell.
Man.
So
I mean, as far as the humanoid version, were there departments and agencies lining up to see more and to buy this thing?
The expense, for instance, the dogs are over $250,000 each.
Okay.
That's just the dog. So you imagine the human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
$6 million man.
But the human doesn't have a pension. The human doesn't have sick days. The human, you know, when you think about all the things, I should say the robot doesn't have all of those things. I guess, you know, if you sit down with the robotic companies, they'll tell you over time, this is how much money you save.
The future is here.
If your robot's not obsolete, like an iPhone, every year there's a new robot.
Well, of course, that's built-in obsolescence. That's the whole game. I mean, they're going to make you buy new ones.
Every year.
Every year, yeah, basically, it's, or at least every other year.
Oh, my God.
And what do they do with the old ones?
I don't know. It becomes hazardous waste. I don't know.
I guess so. Wait, there's a movie about that.
Oh, wow. Wasn't it Hollywood?
iRobot, right? Wasn't that a movie? Well, let's
RoboCop.
Talk. Yeah, well, that one too.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a few more. Shots were fired early in the morning. Deputies received multiple reports of possible gunshots in the Wilderness area. They canvassed the neighborhood and contacted several potential suspects, but were unable to determine the source of the shots. And later that morning, more gunshots were reported in the same area. And we have audio on that call.
What's the address of the emergency?
I heard multiple gunshots.
How long ago?
A minute ago. Maybe 2 minutes ago.
How many exactly did you hear?
About five.
Could you tell what kind of gun they were coming from?
No. Not very familiar with guns.
Okay. And could you tell what direction they were coming from?
No.
Okay, do you see any...
I don't know if they were just, like, shooting
in
the air.
In the area?
No, it woke me up from my sleep.
Okay. Deputies en route up there. If you hear anything else, just give me a call back on 911.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
You're welcome. You too. Bye.
There were people asking me about that.
County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
My son just said he heard a gunshot. He came upstairs. Like, just...
Okay, how many shots did he hear?
He said one.
So the dispatchers and cops, when you get multiple calls, you start thinking, this is real. Something's going on.
How long ago did your son hear the shot?
Like, honestly, he came running upstairs and told me...
Probably like 5 minutes ago, maybe.
He said that it's maybe about 5 minutes ago because we went around the house and locked the doors and then we...
So they locked the doors after they hear gunshots.
Good idea.
Not before, right?
Do you see any suspicious vehicles or people in the area?
It's so dark out now. He just heard it and it was very, like, obvious that he heard something. He came up there and asked me if I heard it.
Okay. I might not know the answer to this question, but could he tell maybe what type of gun it was?
It was pretty loud. Maybe a shotgun, possibly. I couldn't necessarily identify exactly what kind of gun. Definitely a bigger round.
Okay, perfect. That's good information. Okay, I'm going to get this out to a deputy. If you guys hear anything else in the area, any more shots, or even see any suspicious people or vehicles, just give me a call back on 911, okay?
All right.
Okay.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
I don't know the exact address, but it's somewhere on Dude out here. I called last night, too, shooting in the air.
So this is two nights in a row.
Oh, wow.
Okay. First night, they couldn't find anything.
What kind of gun?
So this is the second night now.
I have no idea.
Same area. Same caller.
Is it a long gun?
I have no idea. I can't see the gun. I can just hear it.
Okay. I want you to keep yourself in a safe place, and they're coming that way right now.
Okay.
And did you say this was happening yesterday?
Yeah, it happened last night, like at 11:30 or midnight, and they shot off 5 rounds as well, like scared the hell out of us, and I guess other people called the police too, and the sheriffs did come to my house, but again, it was pitch black, and I couldn't see where it was coming from.
All right, thank you. And we are getting this call from someone else as well right now.
Okay.
So hopefully between the two of you, we can locate these people.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi, I called last night about somebody shooting a gun, and there's somebody shooting a gun again today.
Okay. And how many shots were fired?
It happened 2 different times, and at least 5 shots the first time. And then at least, well, there was 5 shots the first time, and then the second time I would say that there was at least 5.
Is that okay for officers to contact you if they have questions?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm curious if anybody found anything out last night, too.
Okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and make a note in here that you would like contact and an update on last night's incident.
I appreciate that.
So 2 nights in a row, some shots were fired at Wilderness. First yeah. night, you didn't find anybody. What happened the second night?
Second night, through witness account, well, first of all, to paint a visual for people that may be listening to this and don't live here, we live in what they call, all of Summit County, is the woodland, you know, urban interface. So we're right up against the forest. So when these people say it's pitch black outside, people that might be listening in the city have no idea. When we say pitch black, it's pitch black.
You can see the stars, and you can see galaxies in the Milky
oh
Way and
yeah.
constellations. And, well, I mean, the whole Breckenridge dark sky thing
yeah.
is an award that Breckenridge got for having dark skies.
Yeah, you just can't see your hand in front of your face. But you can see the stars, like the super moon we've had.
It's beautiful.
Has been incredible
yeah.
the last couple nights.
Obviously, the moon wasn't out that night.
No, there was no moon out that right. night. But, you know, you can imagine how terrifying this is. You know, to someone at midnight when these shots are going off and it is pitch black outside and your doors are unlocked, by the way, while you're in bed at midnight. I don't know. That makes me uneasy as the sheriff. You know what I mean?
Lock your doors
lock
is what
your,
you're saying.
Please lock okay. your doors. But anyways, what also was a big clue was these are the same two callers 2 nights in a row. So that kind of brings it into like it's happening somewhere right there.
Yeah.
Deputies were able this time to come across a couple people that were intoxicated, that denied, of course, knowledge of any guns or shooting guns. You know, through the interviews and through some other further investigation using eyewitnesses, they were able to get enough probable cause to arrest one of these individuals. And by the time they brought him back to the sheriff's office and brought him back to the jail here, our detectives had enough to go write a search warrant. Went back to this individual's house, found the other guy, and a whole bunch of guns.
Oh, wow.
And ammo that matched, you know, they'd obviously recently been fired. Cartridges were there. There was enough probable cause to arrest two people and take a handful, a half a dozen guns or so into custody. So these guys were drunk, which it's against the law in Colorado to be drunk and be handling weapons, shooting guns. You know, it is hunting season, but you can't hunt at night, so it's not hunters. So, you know, thank God by the second night, it's horrible that it happened 2 nights in a row, but yeah. thank God we ended up finding the culprits, both of them and their weapons, and took both them and their weapons into custody.
Very good. So just curious, the 911 operator asks, what kind of a gun is it? Do you have people that actually say, oh, it's a 45 automatic, and it's, I mean, or just, you know, nail the caliber and what kind, and, or, I mean, it's like, obviously there's some people that
yeah.
have no idea, but it's a gun, and it makes a loud noise, and I don't know what kind it is.
You know, it's a great question, Tom, because, you know, even as I sit here, I listen to this, and I think that, God, there's a lot of people that would go, like that one lady, like, I don't no guns. I don't right. have any knowledge. But there, you would be surprised how many people go, yes, it sounded like a rifle. It sounded like a large caliber. It sounded like a pistol. It sounded like a small caliber. It's amazing the knowledge that some people have. And most of the time, they're pretty accurate. I mean, gun owners know their guns, and gun non-owners don't, as that woman that called 911.
Yeah.
Great question, though, because I would be thinking, too, like, what kind of – if that was the caller, I'd be like, yeah. what kind of question – how would I know – do I know what kind of gun it is?
It was a 12-gauge shotgun side-by-side with a modified yeah. choke.
And what's interesting, the kid that said it was a, sounded like a shotgun, there was no shotguns.
Not at all.
Yeah, but it's wow. funny that the kid goes, ah, it sounded like a shotgun.
It made a loud noise.
It went bang?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Scared me.
Yeah.
Speaking of scary, there's some scary Halloween decorations recently, and a man who was frustrated with the motion-activated Halloween decorations went onto his neighbor's porch and unplugged the decorations to silence them because there were evil laughs and spooky music. He then reported the noise to deputies, and while the deputy was en route to the noise complaint, the trespassing complaint was received. Wow. I mean, there are some really cool high-tech Halloween decorations, but obviously the right place at the right time is something to be considered.
I was wondering where you're going with that. I mean, this was not late at night.
Right.
This was someone, as you said, Halloween decorations, any kind of holiday decorations today are nothing like they used to be. No.
They all make noise and they all light up. That's pretty much the bottom line.
Yeah. So first the noise complaint comes in about the decorations. And the guy decides to go handle it himself and walks to his neighbor's house, unplugs all their decorations, and then starts pounding on the door, telling them to keep it quiet. You know, there's quiet hours here. Keep it quiet. And then when he left, the victims of this called on him for trespassing on their property and unplugging their stuff. So in the end, the deputy, you know, just mediated this. Nobody went to jail. Nobody got a ticket. They weren't violating the noise ordinance. It was explained to the neighbor that was complaining about the noise that there's noise hours and they were not in violation of that. You know, bah humbug. I don't know what you say for Halloween, but or if there's a word, boo.
So let's talk a little bit about this noise ordinance. Do you carry decibel meters around?
We do.
You do.
And in fact, you have them on iPhones now.
Oh, that's true.
So yeah. Deputies all carry, you know, phones, but that's a good one because there's been a couple of local bars in the past, that, especially out Keystone Way, that have gotten complaints about noise. We used to track it, not track it, but monitor on our iPhone, which we thought was pretty accurate, which yeah. is, but it's an yeah. iPhone.
Right.
Yeah, you being a radio sound guy, you're like, yeah. I don't know, maybe.
It's an iPhone, yeah.
But
how accurate can an app be? I mean, it can be pretty accurate, right?
Yeah, but the reason I bring this up is because it got challenged in court.
Oh, is that right?
So we actually had to go out and we bought a couple of noise decibel readers, yeah, real ones,
right.
that now that are deployed in the field all the time, that a couple sergeants carry them around. And when we do get a noise complaint, we actually bring the real McCoy out there. So it is funny that you're like, because it got challenged in court and the judge said, hey, we can't, I'm not going to accept it from a phone app.
Sure.
You know, the sheriff's office should go buy a decibel meter, and the next time you have a noise complaint, read it with a real meter and tell us what it is. Now, imagine deputies trying to even, thank God it was, you know, a decibel reader for dummies, because...
Now, what is there a time limit as far as what the...
Yeah, there's a decibel range and right? a time span, you know,
yeah.
that people can and can't make noise. And it's different for construction sites than it is for loud cars, than it is for loud music. So there's all kinds of... And it's all lives in state law, because Summit County is what you call a statutory county. So the only ordinances that the Board of County Commissioners can pass here in Summit County reflect state law. So this all is in state law.
So different towns don't have different ordinances?
Different towns can, because they're what you call home rule.
Oh.
Home rule means that you can make shit up. Which they do.
And they do.
And they do.
Pretty much.
That's another great question, because you might go, well, wait a minute, because in the county, and it's like, and now you're in Breckenridge, and it's like, okay.
It's all different.
It's all different here.
It's all different.
Yeah, so don't make too much noise.
Especially after dark.
On Halloween.
Especially on Halloween. Oh, my God. And when it comes around Christmas, that ho-ho-ho Santa Claus making that noise, and you think he's all jolly and everything, well, your neighbor may not have that same Christmas cheer.
And then we can say, bah humbug.
Exactly. Summit County Justice Files is what you're listening to. Thanks for tuning in. There's a DUI MVA issue. Deputies received multiple reports of a vehicle driving in the wrong lane on Swan Mountain Road. Responding deputies found the vehicle off the side of the road, crashed, partially blocking the road, and the driver was unresponsive with his head slumped over the wheel.
Oh.
Scary.
So, yeah, you have the audio on this.
Oh, I do.
You do. I just didn't mark it for you, but you do have the audio.
Well, let's see if I can find that. Thanks again for Tina for shooting us all the audio from 911 calls and body cam calls. Is this body cam or?
This is body cam.
Okay.
Yes.
Ooh, DUI. Here we go. Let's listen.
Ooh. It's kind of a long one, but it's a good one.
Okay. Cruise, the driver may be intoxicated. He slumped over at the wheel. Pretty loud music going. I can't get him answered.
We tried to clean up the audio as much as possible. That is loud music in the background.
Oh, wow.
The guy's passed out, and you are listening to loud Spanish
music.
So
this is his car blaring music, and he's passed out.
And he's passed out behind the wheel. In going southbound in the northbound lanes of traffic.
Not good.
Try to block him. He's in the northbound lanes, but he's facing southbound. He's off the shoulder. He's kind of blocking the way.
So they're trying everything they can to wake this guy up right now. They're you're going to hear them pounding on the window.
Yeah. There's only one occupant.
So that noise in the background is his stereo. Windows rolled up, yeah. Engine on, and that's how loud his stereo. And he's passed out.
And he's passed out.
Completely out.
Wow. Can I get the front doors open? He does have the vehicle locked. Hey!
He's pounding hard with a flashlight. It's sort of muffled because of the body cam. But
sure. At what point do you bring the tool out that breaks the window?
Well, that's what you're going to hear him ask a couple deputies, like, do you have a window?
Sheriff's Office!
Nothing.
Wow. Unresponsive.
And he's driving. He was driving.
Well, if you want to pop the curb and then just pitch it right here and I'll pitch the new one.
So he's got a couple other deputies there trying to devise
a plan.
Okay,
so I got on the hood. Doesn't look like there's any weapons, but we definitely got to break the window. He's not responding. Do you have a window break?
I don't.
Okay. Because he's not responding.
He's just picking up this rock.
Tom 33, can I get the next incoming unit to block northbound travel in the right lane? Where you at? Hey, I'm going to try to break it on this side. Because he's sitting right there.
Okay,
have
you come
over
with you?
Yeah, if you want.
Imagine all this is going on outside the car, and this guy is
oblivious.
Out. And he had just driven and crashed. This came in as a report on
this is supposed to have a window break, so.
Him driving along the side of the road. He just woke up and hit
the
gas.
We tried to break the window. The vehicle is pinched, but the driver's trying to drive away right now.
That sound was a car.
Wow.
His tires.
After he woke up.
So he woke up and he hit the gas and tried to get out of there. They had him pinched in.
Wow.
So he couldn't escape. Yeah. But he's still just kind of disoriented and won't open the door and won't roll down the window.
Can you come over here?
Starting the car again.
Stop, man! Stop! Stop!
Open your window!
Unlock your door! Unlock your door!
Unlock your door, dude. Roll the window down. Roll the window down now.
Yeah, man.
Give me 1 second, bro. Yo, what the hell, bro? Bro, what the hell? You know, I have 2 PIs, man. Come on. I'm just trying to go home. Dude. Come on, bro.
Those are dude. Handcuffs.
Yeah. Well, my window break and my flashlight doesn't work too well, huh?
They typically don't. You guys laughing right now, really? He's saying his window break doesn't work. That's what he's talking about.
The sunny eyes,
good IG.
So he's out of the car now, and he ends up telling the deputies he's actually on probation for DUI.
That's a whammy.
Yeah. And this came in as someone reporting Swan Mountain Road, which is, you know, Tom, is a mountain two-lane road, really narrow, windy, steep.
With double yellow lines on the whole duration of the road.
So this call originated there where someone reported him driving on the wrong side of the road. And as you know, Swan Mountain Road ends up coming on the Breckenridge side into a main highway, Highway 9, four-lane highway. And it's a pretty wide left turn. And if you don't make that wide left turn, you're going to make a left turn all right, but you're going to go into oncoming traffic. That's what he did.
Oh, wow.
And started driving down State Highway 9 on the wrong side of the road until he crashed. Thank God he didn't hit anybody.
Yeah, what did he crash into?
At the side of the road.
Oh, just ditch?
Down. Yeah. Halfway between the high school and the town of Breckenridge.
Okay.
He just ended up swerving enough left off the road that he just crashed into the side of the road. You know, ditch.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that tire sound you heard was when he first came to, he just hit the gas.
Wow.
Turned off his engine, and you hear him turn it back on, and they're telling him to turn off his engine again. So, real dangerous driver on probation for a prior DUI. And could have really killed somebody.
Got him off the road.
Got him off the road.
Thank you. Thank you to the Summit County Sheriff's Office. There's a hunter in the hills that was observing his parked vehicle through binoculars when he saw what he thought was someone trying to break into his car. Concerned, he reported the incident to the deputies.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this on the air, both on the air and on the podcast, about, you know, our trailheads, crimes of opportunity, that sometimes, you know, thieves go to these trailheads and break into cars knowing that hikers or hunters aren't going to be back for a while. This guy is parked at a trailhead. He's looking through his binoculars. He's hunting, looking through his binoculars. Happens to look down at his car and sees what he thinks is someone breaking into his car. Deputies respond. They check the area. They can't find any evidence of someone looking or breaking into his car. The deputies end up contacting this guy and say, you know, there's nothing here. There's no evidence of anybody near your car. So they clear from there. He ends up calling back the deputies and says, you know, now that he's looking through his binoculars, that it's a tree that he's seen through binoculars that looks like a person reaching into his car. A tree nowhere near his car, but because he's looking from a distance.
Yeah.
It's in his binoculars. And he says, you know what? I feel like a really idiot. He goes, I'm looking through my binoculars again. And I'm noticing that it's a tree that looks like two arms reaching into my car.
Oh, my.
At least he had a sense of humor to call back.
That's
good. Guys, you weren't wrong.
Right.
It was me.
Yeah. My bad. Whoopsie.
He should be looking for deer and elk, not people breaking into his car, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it's nice to spy your car through the binoculars when you're up in a distance. It's like, hey. Yeah, that's right. I parked. Hey, wait a minute. What's going on in my car?
Hey, file the center. You can't make this stuff up.
There is a dog at large. While camping at the Blue River Campground, a camper discovered a lost dog. And since it was late at night, he decided to keep the dog safe by letting her sleep in his car with him overnight.
How about that? I mean, this is Summit County, right? Dog lovers.
Yeah.
Finds a stray dog, decides he's going to take it in, keep it warm overnight, and in the morning he'll take it to the shelter and see if he can find out whose dog it is.
Good on you.
That's Summit County. Dog lovers.
Yes, indeed.
You know, our animal control and shelter always have a huge campaign about, you know, either chipping your animal or make sure you get its vaccine, you know, its rabies vaccines. This one, and make sure you license them. This one, they were able to trace the owners through a vaccine, through a rabies vaccine, and return the dog to the owners. And the owners had no idea the dog had gone off for the night and gallivanted through the woods. And that someone, a good Samaritan, took the dog in and kept it warm and returned him.
Were the owners local or visitors?
Yeah,
they were local.
Yeah, they were locals. They had no idea the dog had escaped overnight. Isn't that something?
Wow. We love our dogs, but let's keep track of them, shall we?
That's the good dog story for the day.
Let's talk about this fraud story. This week, a couple of unrelated individuals experienced similar situations after interacting with strangers online and sharing private images through social media and dating apps.
Tom, how many times have we talked about this?
I think all the time. We can go back over all the Justice Files and find a regular occurrence.
Oh, you know, this is just to show that this is ongoing. It is a regular occurrence. Both of these, thank goodness, at some point before money exchanged hands, went, maybe I'm being scammed.
Hmm.
And in this instance, these two instances, both these people didn't exchange any money. Obviously, no crime, no money, no crime. Their pride and their humility was a little hurt about trading, naked photos of themselves with someone in some foreign country. But this just shows you that these scams go on and on. There was a thing I read today going out to law enforcement talking about how AI now is becoming so good at doing fake scam calls to the point where they're getting people's photos and videos. They talked about one where a realistic video that went out showing a family member, because the scammers were able to get a video off someone's phone, and they in the video they put a gun to this person's head and pretended they were gonna shoot him in the head if they didn't send money. And of course money exchanged hands, because they thought it was all real, but it was all AI generated. So this is just the next evolution of scams, the AI generated voice and digital imprints of people.
And it's scary to think how far this is going to go.
Oh my God.
Oh, all the dark corners.
Tom, they're just going to get your voice off the radio.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
They're going to say, Tom, we don't need you anymore. We have all your voice files from all over the... We can do the radio every day without you now.
We can have somebody else read the wrong weather forecast. You don't have to do it in person. We'll just have AI imitate your voice.
Hey, RoboCops and AI radio personalities. I mean...
The future is here.
The future. Yay.
Yay. Okay.
not funny.
Yeah. Sometimes the future just kind of looks bleak when you see some of the things that are coming. You're like, really? Okay.
That's one of those bad jokes you talked about at the top of the podcast.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yep, there it is.
There it is. We dropped it.
We found it.
There it is. We dropped it.
A cold theft case. There was a man visiting Summit County who went for a hike and lost his phone. After realizing the phone was missing, he tried calling it, and a local Summit County resident answered the phone. The local man agreed to ship the lost phone back to the visitor. However, after waiting more than a week with no updates, the visitor decided to report the situation to deputies.
Yeah, you know, shame on our locals.
Yeah.
You know, usually we're very open-hearted, big people, especially with our visitors, because stuff gets lost here all the time, right? In the woods, we get guns turned in, we get phones turned in, we get wallets turned in, we get children turned, no. But this one, it was a local that found the phone. He did agree to return it. He didn't return it, and a deputy had to go pay him a visit to remind him, like, you should probably return the phone, which he promptly did after being counseled by the deputy. The guy got his phone back. But, I mean, come on, folks. Yeah. Let's not keep people's property. Especially, that just makes us look bad as locals.
Right.
Really bad.
The deputy shows up and dude says, oh, yeah. Oh,
I was just on my way to UPS.
Yeah. Let's be good to our visitors.
Let's be good. Let's be good to everybody.
Return
be kind.
Their property. Be kind. Good be words kind. To live by. A search and rescue item. Solo hiker called for help after falling about 50 feet down the knife edge between Father Dyer Peak and Mount Helen, sustaining a broken wrist. and the man had pain in both wrists and his leg, but was able to walk.
Yeah, this is one of those ones, another search and rescue call that, as we've talked about many times before on the podcast, where, you know, these all calls involve many, many people, up to 35, 50 people, and take a long time. This rescue took over. Now, you heard about the injuries. They're pretty minor. But this rescue took a lot of people and took over 7 hours to get this guy down.
Wow.
So it's just another example of, you know, what sounds like something that might be minor that you wouldn't have a lot of resource intensive response to, turns out to be a really long extended rescue with a lot of people. But luckily they were able to get him out of field. He drove himself to the hospital, take care of his medical needs, and was able to get home.
And thanks to all the people that are involved in Summit County Search and Rescue.
My goodness.
Their efforts just are amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing group of people.
Yep. Thank you so much. Criminal mischief incident. A nearby neighbor noticed a couple juveniles with paintball guns shooting at rocks near a popular trailhead in unincorporated Frisco. After the neighbor confronted the kids, the juveniles left the area, and they left behind a significant amount of paint.
Oh, my gosh. Shame on our local kids. Paintballing, you know, boulders. My first thought was, remember a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about the kids that were dragging the...
The lawnmower.
The grill, yeah.
Lawnmower is a different one, I think. Yeah,
a different one.
The grill, yeah.
This is the grill. And I thought, oh my God, is it the same two kids with the grill? It wasn't.
Oh,
but I mean, my first thought was, oh my God. But it ended sort of the same way. Deputies ended up finding out who these kids were, went to the parents' house and said, look, there's two ways we can do this. You know, the kids can go clean up this mess, or, you know, I could write them a ticket. And, of course, Dad dragged those kids out there and cleaned up this mess.
All right.
Which I think is probably a better learning lesson in the end.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, my God, but... You know, I wondered, Ava, was it the two kids that dragged the grill up the dirt road?
Yeah.
Or if they knew each other? I mean.
They probably knew each other.
Oh, my God.
It's a small
community. It is Summit County.
Yeah, it is. Trespassing incident. There was a man and a woman that decided to meet up. The woman provided her address and mentioned that it was fine for him to enter on his own when he arrived. The man had never been to her place before, and he found the address was not clearly marked, and as a result, he mistakenly entered the wrong home, startling a family who was having dinner. And, we have audio on that one as well, too. And this one
is... It's a good one.
The trespassing audio. Let me make sure I have the right one. Okay, here it is.
The address of the emergency. Tell me exactly what's happening.
I would like somebody to come out if possible. My husband and I were sitting down with our kids for dinner, and some random, dirty-looking guy just walked into our house and said, excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm looking for, and then he said some house number or something, some address or something like that, and I just feel like... He's not a good character to have on the street if he just now.
Okay. And is he still there?
No. My husband jumped up and went to the door. It says license plate number, and he's in a small red car. And now he's pulling up our neighbor's driveway, my husband says. We have long driveways. For him to have, like, walked all the way up our driveway and walk in our house is crazy.
Okay. All right. We are getting people started right now. I'm just trying to get a little bit more information for them. Do you still see him over there, or is he, like, still in your neighbor's parking lot?
Let me see. I don't see him there. I don't see anybody. I mean, it's super dark, so I don't see anything now.
Okay. And did he say anything else?
No, he just, like, opened our door, walked in as we're sitting having dinner, and said, sorry to bother you. When he said sorry to bother, like, it scared me to death. He said, sorry to bother you, and our dog started barking and going crazy and running at him. And he's like, sorry to bother you, but I'm looking for, and then he said, like, a house number or something, and my husband, like, got right there.
What if he had a bottle of wine and flowers?
And the dog and him kind of, like, got him outside.
Box of chocolates.
And then I stayed inside and called.
Okay. people that are in LA right now. They might try and call you for further information if they do have any other questions. If you see them come back or he comes back up to your house, I want you to call back on 911. But they are in route right now. They may just look for him first. So if you see him driving around and they don't come contact you, it's probably because they're looking for him, but they will make contact with you.
Okay.
I liked the description of the guy right up front.
Thank you.
It's the guy of questionable character and
dirty.
Just and I could make a really bad snowboarder joke right here, but I'll not do that. I won't go there.
You know, first of all, can I point out that these are two, the woman and the guy we're gonna meet for the first time on a date. Come over to my house.
Yeah.
And she said, the door will be open, just come on in. And he goes to the wrong house, whose door was also open. Nobody locks their doors. I mean, this is crazy. Yeah. And then she's startled having dinner with her husband and kid, and the dog's going to go attack the guy?
Incredible.
Yeah, there was no there was no criminal intent here. The deputies did find the guy. He was at the wrong house.
Did he get his booty call?
He did.
All right.
Successful.
Everybody was happy.
Not the people.
Almost,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people weren't happy.
Interrupted dinner.
You know,
never happy.
And it's unfortunate what happened to the first family, and they were not happy that this guy wasn't going to. Forget jail, prison the rest of his life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They did not see the humor in. He just, it was a booty call. The woman told him the door would be open.
Right.
He went to the house, door was open, he walked in. Oh, my God. I have so many other questions.
So many. So many that we just can't answer here on the Justice Files.
God.
Let's get back to search and rescue. A couple of siblings attempted a high quandary. That's a peak, a 14er outside of Breckenridge. Started late in the day, which is never a good idea when you're trying to climb a 14er. As they were climbing, it began to get dark. So the sister decided to stop and turn around while her brother continued to the summit. And when it got dark and her brother had not returned, the sister called for help.
Santa County 911, what's the address of the emergency? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Your phone's breaking out a little bit. Where are you?
I'm in a hiking spot in Breckenridge.
Okay, so you're out on a mountain right now? Hiking?
And I'm lost. I went with my brother.
I'm trying to get your location, but it's not coming in yet.
Listen how calm she is.
Oh, very.
Okay.
It's like she's handled these calls before.
Yeah. But the caller is also super.
She is. He went up the mountain, and I decided to go back sooner.
Okay.
So
is he lost too, do you think, or just you?
It's just me. He's here too. I mean, he's somewhere around here too.
Have you been able to get in contact with him by phone?
I was going to. I'm just.
Okay. Yeah, let me get your information now. I'm going to get a search and rescue in contact with you, okay? So he wanted to continue on and you wanted to turn around. Is that how you guys were separated?
Exactly. Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm trying to do.
And are you on Quandary? Do you know where you started from?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Are you injured?
No, not at all. I just can't see.
Okay. And do you think your brother knows where he's going?
I think so, but I'm going to call him.
Do you have a headlamp or anything?
No, I'm just using my phone's light.
Okay. And what time did you start hiking?
We started at like 10 o'clock this morning.
Got it. Okay. All right. And are you dressed warmly enough right now?
I am.
Okay. And do you have food and water?
I don't have the food and water.
You do not have food or water?
No.
Okay.
I don't have food.
Do you have any water?
No.
Okay. Get this to a search and rescue. And you're in a really good spot right now where I can hear you. So if you can just stay right there, okay? And so our search and rescue is going to call you. And so just answer the phone, and they will help get you out of there, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's paint a little picture here for the listeners. Quandary, 14,000 foot peak. It's a strenuous hike on a clear, sunny, blue sky day. Mm-hmm. You don't start ascending, you know, as it's getting dark.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. So this brother and sister decide to go for a hike. It starts getting dark, and the sister says, "Hey, we should probably turn around. It's getting dark." And he goes, "You know what? Why don't you start heading down, and I'm going to still summit, and then I'll meet you back at the trailhead." Meanwhile, he's the one with the backpack, with the food, the water, you know, lights, all that stuff. She has nothing. She thinks that, like everyone does on Quandary, like, "Oh, I'll get down quickly." She starts going, this is 14,000 foot peak. Uh-huh. She starts descending, and it gets pitch black. We had just talked about on that shooting call how dark it gets here in Summit County.
And especially when you're that far away from the town. Oh, there's no lights anywhere. There's
no highway lights. No. There's no light. I mean, maybe at 14,000 feet, you're getting close to the stars, but there's still no light.
It's starlight. That's basically it. And so, whatever phase the moon may be in, you may be blessed with something fuller than a half moon that'll somewhat illuminate your way. But still, it's dark.
So thank God when it got completely pitch black, like I said, you can't see your hand in front of your face. She went, "Ooh, maybe I should call 911. Because my brother hasn't caught back up to me, and I don't know where I am because it's pitch black, and I'm using my iPhone flashlight to try to get down the trail." I mean, I've used my iPhone flashlight in my house to look under the bed, and you can barely see the light. You know what I mean?
It's a very minimal light.
And the light in the bedroom's on. So she's trying to get down a pitch black mountain on a pitch black mountain goat trail. By herself. So this now turns in, you know, we're laughing about it, but turns into...
It's serious.
Yeah, it turns into a pretty, again, an extended rescue. These Quandary rescues are always 8 to 12 hours in length because of how complicated it can be when you get lost up there. And it turns out the brother was lost. And then it turns out the sister was lost in a complete different way. So we had two simultaneous rescues going on at the same time for two siblings. All because the brother wanted to go touch the top of the mountain.
Now, did the brother make a call to anybody?
No. He was just going to, you know, wander down.
Just going to hang out and stumble around in the dark.
I have questions, right?
Right.
I got more questions.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's...
Tell me they weren't local people.
Well, she did... if you heard on her call, she says that they both live here.
Oh, boy.
Which makes no sense.
No.
Maybe she meant they visited here before.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like something locals would do.
I don't think so. If you've lived here for any length of time, you tend to know what the consequences would be for starting out on a hike late and still trying to ascend when it's getting dark. Not a good idea.
Although we have locals stealing iPhones, and maybe we have locals climbing mountains when it's dark. I don't know.
It's a new thing. Nighttime hiking.
With iPhone.
Yeah. And then there's a whole flurry of other calls coming in. There's a light up on the mountain.
Those two.
Yeah. So make sure you're well prepared before you head out for any adventure on the mountain.
Again, it's hard to make this stuff up. Thank God we have the audio files. Because someone could just go, did that really happen?
It's like, no, it
you're
happened.
Like, no, here's the audio file. Here's the
real deal.
Here's the 911
deal.
Call. They're the real deal.
All true stories.
All true stories.
The Summit County Justice Files, your dose of truth and justice every single week. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
No, just so we're clear, Tom, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, Remember, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
And we'll laugh at you.
With audio.
You can read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That address is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.